Welcome to Side by Side, a podcast where I, Robert Kwong, take you inside conversations with artists, creatives, healers, and warriors taking the charge in their transformational story. Today's guest is Sam Cartagena, the founder of Ambition and Mischief, a community that supports ambitious women looking for connection, coaching, and space to do their inner work. In this conversation, Sam and I dive inside her transition from 10-hour-a-day corporate life to coaching and supporting women on her terms. If you're curious about the Ambition and Mischief community, check out their podcast to hear insights from Sam as well as community members. Be sure to visit their website and connect with them on Instagram. But yeah, I'm so excited to be having this conversation with you today. And in thinking about where to start, the two words that I think of when I think of Sam is ambition and mischief, because that's what you call your community, your business. And you've talked about this before in other spaces, but why ambition and mischief?
So ambition and mischief, very appropriate for you to think of that when you think of me, very on brand. I love it. Ambition and mischief was a name that just kind of came to me right before I got laid off from my corporate job. So I remember sitting in like one of my favorite falafel shops and just kind of thinking like, I am not enjoying this career. I am not enjoying this corporate life. I know that there's something next for me, but I don't know exactly what that is. And the name Ambition and Mischief just kind of dropped into my head. I always feel like it was kind of just gifted. And so I had the name before I knew exactly what it was going to be, but I just knew that the kind of essence of Ambition and Mischief was going to be paving your own path and building success on your own terms, because I had for so long followed the traditional route of success, right? Like quote unquote success, which is like get the good grades, do the internship, get the good job, and then that's kind of like where it ends. You just kind of keep climbing the corporate ladder from there. And I had done that
forever.
Yeah, forever and ever. And I had done that and was only 25 and was like, this is exhausting. I cannot do this for the rest of my life. I don't know what's next, but I know that I can't do this for another 40 years or whatever. And so ambition and mischief, the essence was just like, do it differently. Like do it outside of how you've been told you should do it. And that's where I was born.
I think I remember you mentioning that there was pushback when you ran this name by people. Why did you think there was pushback?
You know, I don't remember. I might have blocked this out of my memory, but I don't remember specific pushback from any particular person. But I do remember some resistance within myself around, I shared this on Instagram the other day, around like, is this professional, right? So I remember sharing it, and most people are like, oh, that's cool. But some people I remember were like, huh, okay, like a little skeptical, like, what does that mean? And when I went to in court, like make it an LLC, an official business, I had that hesitation of like, oh, is this a professional name? Should I really make this my business name?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you settled on that and that you went with your gut.
Yeah.
Something you and I always talk about. But prior to that, how would you describe Sam growing up and leading up to you working 10 hours a day in corporate sector? How would you describe who you were then?
Well, I think mischief is probably something that my family or my mom would definitely use. She always says like I was very smart and very calculated as a child. And growing up before corporate world and all of that, I think the ambition and mischief was still there, but in a fun, creative, playful way, right? Like I always loved to write. I always loved being artistic. I always loved kind of expressing myself in different ways. And I think the corporate life kind of dimmed that. And in the past few years being outside of corporate, it's really been about getting back to that, like getting back to authentic expression and authentic living.
Yeah, you said, where's your family from originally? Because you're in Puerto Rico right now, but that's not where you're originally from.
No, correct? No. So I live in Puerto Rico with my fiance, who's Puerto Rican, but I was born in New York and my family is Dominican, so I'm Dominican American.
Mm-hmm. What was it like? Because I saw in your bio that you were the first in your family to graduate with a bachelor's. I mean, what did that mean for you? And maybe what was your family's reaction to that, being that person?
Yeah, so a few people in my family have gone to college and have gone to like 2-year colleges and things like that. But I was the first to graduate with my bachelor's. And I always knew that that's something that I would do. Like from a young age, as early as kindergarten, I remember I have this memory of some kids in my class behaving badly and me being like, I'm not getting involved in that. Like, I am going to college. I cannot have this on my record, you know, like as early as kindergarten. And I really took that seriously and carried it like all the way through college, this responsibility of people before you have sacrificed so much for you to be here. And you don't have the privilege of getting in trouble and potentially not getting into college, right? Even as early as kindergarten, I had that awareness. And so I took on that responsibility and it really meant a lot. And I remember being at my graduation and seeing my mom's face, and I've never seen her smile as big as when I was kind of on stage and watching her. Like till this day, I have never seen her with such a big smile. And we've never talked about it now that I'm thinking about it, but my kind of perception of what was going on in her head was like, it was all worth it. You know, like, we did it, we're here. And I spoke to my grandma after the same, you know, after the graduation, same day, and she said, oh, I could die now. And thank God she hasn't, she's still here. But it was just this sentiment of like, it's complete, you know, like all of this, all of the sacrifice and all of this work that we've put in is complete. And I think it really goes to the how much weight we put on the American dream, right? Like that coveted American dream. And although I'm glad I took the path that I did, I'm glad that I went to college, I'm glad that everything that has happened until this point did happen, it also makes me realize, again, that that is not the only path to success. You know, we put so much weight and so much importance on you have to make it in this particular way. And I did, which is why they were kind of so proud. But it also makes me realize, like, you can quote unquote make it in other ways beyond just that one path.
So eventually you had a turning point and you left the corporate sector. And you, when did you get into the world of personal development and coaching?
I got laid off from my corporate job. That was really kind of the fork in the road. If I wouldn't have gotten laid off, I probably would have stayed for a really, really long time, like probably for years, because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do next. And I am typically the person that wants to have some sort of clarity or certainty on what's next before I make the next move. And so I'm really glad and grateful that I got laid off, because it really pushed me into thinking about what's next. And once I was laid off, I knew I had clarity that I didn't want to go back to corporate. I still didn't know what I wanted to do next, but I knew that I didn't want to go back to corporate. And I started freelancing before I got into the personal development space. So I figured, okay, if I don't want to work for someone full time, I'll just do this freelancing thing. And even with that, there was some work that I needed to do internally around that, because I felt guilty around freelancing, because I was the only person that I knew that kind of woke up whenever she wanted, got to choose what kind of work she wanted to do. And I felt like I had this privilege that people in my family who had sacrificed so much for me to be where I was did not have. And so I felt this guilt around like, wow, I get to be happy and enjoy my job. This is not okay. Like, I should not have this. I don't know anyone else that has this. And so I really had to do a lot of work around that. And I think the work that I did around that really allowed me to step into personal development and then kind of grow my business in the way that I wanted without the guilt. So I was introduced to my first coach while I was freelancing. I went to this random event and this woman was there, and it was a networking event. And she was like, oh, I'm a stylist and I'm a life coach. And I was like, that's really weird. I don't know what that means. And she was like, I have a colleague who is a Latina woman and she works with women of color. I think you'd really like her. She does free sessions. Would you like to connect? I was like, sure. You know, what's there to lose? It's a free session. And this was the first time that I'd ever spoken with a coach. I didn't really know what coaching was. It was a complete kind of like, we'll just see what happens, why not? And when that conversation was done, I fell in love with coaching. I was so bought in. I was like, I need to pay you immediately. She said no one has paid her as fast as I did after that conversation, because I just knew.
Oh.
Yeah. I just knew. I had done therapy before that. I was in therapy after I got laid off and had done a little bit of therapy before that. And therapy is beautiful. It's amazing, but it's not coaching. And so I just didn't know that coaching existed. I didn't know that we could have these kind of conversations about possibility and bridging the gap and what you want and how to, you know, create things. And I always kind of had these conversations with myself, by myself, but it was so amazing to have them with someone who was trained and objective and can kind of hold that space for me and show me my blind spots. And so I coached with her for about maybe a little less than a year, and then had this calling to go to Bali. And my fiance and I were both had the same pull to Bali at the same time. Don't ask me why. We were living in Jersey City. Like, I have no idea why, but we both were like, we need to go to Bali. And so we did.
He's also quite into this stuff too.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But kind of separately, we came to this awareness of like, we're going to Bali. And it made no logical sense. Like, we had an apartment in Jersey City that we were paying rent for. We had a dog that we couldn't bring to Bali. So, like, it made no sense, but we knew that we needed to go. And so we made it work. My sister moved into our apartment for the 2 months that we were gone, and she took care of our dog, which was super hard, but it was worth it. Bali is not very dog friendly, so we just couldn't bring her. It wasn't an option. So we went to Bali for 2 months, and Bali really kind of opened my eyes to possibility around coaching, because there were so many coaches living in Bali, so many of them. I didn't know any of them in New York or in Jersey besides my coach. And so to see so many coaches kind of living this, right? Like, the reality of like, oh, this is possible, really opened my eyes. And then in Bali, I got invited to a breathwork session. And that breathwork session opened my eyes and just really kind of cracked me open to all of the things that I was afraid of and was getting in my way. And I just got this message of like, this is what you're meant to do. Like, you're meant to be a coach. This is how you are meant to help people. And the rest is history.
Wow, that is so fascinating. So real quick, when you were in Bali, are you talking about people who are like, quote unquote, digital nomads staying in Bali, or are they visiting who are coaches?
I think both. I mean, I didn't talk to, you know, all of them, but just kind of observing, there were people that were kind of living in Bali. And so they were digital nomads, but they were coaching for the most part in some capacity. And some people that were just kind of visiting. But in general, there was just kind of like this spiritual coaching community there.
So for people who don't know what breathwork is, can you talk about why it made such an impact, and what was the experience of that breathwork session? And also just, a little bit about what that even entails for people.
Yeah. So I had no idea what breathwork was. Jose, my fiance, had actually been trying to get me into breathwork for a while before that experience. And I was just very hesitant and very skeptical. It was like, we breathe every day. Like, I don't need to go to a breathwork class. You know, like, I'm breathing right now. I don't know. And so I was just very resistant. And I came with that resistant energy to the class. I was just like, what is this weird thing that we're about to do? But whatever, I'm down. And the way that the breathwork works on a like tactical level is it's a three-part breath. So you're breathing into your belly, breathing into your chest, and then releasing, all with your mouth open and all in kind of a circular rhythm. So even though we're breathing every day, this kind of breath work is very different than the kind of breath that we would just normally be breathing, right? And so when we do that for a 60-minute time frame, which is what we did during that session.
That sounds intense.
Yes, it is very intense. And it's very different, obviously, than how we're breathing for 24 hours. So it's this very intentional, very kind of intense form of breathing for a full hour. And what it does is it moves a lot of energy. That's kind of the simplest way that I can put it. It moves a lot of energy. And as that energy is moving, we start to notice the energy that is in our space. So we may start to notice resistance that is in our space. We may start to notice fear. We may start to experience joy, right? Like, we can experience the full spectrum of emotion all in that hour. And it's really a practice of kind of getting back in tune with yourself. And for me, what happened was I just noticed all of the stuff that was in my space that I hadn't noticed before. And because so much energy is moving, it also allows emotion to move that maybe we've been holding on to or have been trying to kind of stuff down, which also sounds scary for someone that does not consider themselves emotional. I do not. And so the thought of like having emotion come up is like no, thank you. But really, yep. It's so liberating to have all of that energy, all of that emotion move. And when it does, you create space and you allow for, like, the spaciousness creates a deep connection with your intuition and your inner knowing. And it just kind of clears the way for what's next when we so often just hold on to the past or what has been and spending so much time in our head. The other piece of breath work is that it gets us out of our head and it gets us into our body, which is one of my favorite pieces.
I'm not a natural at this, but certainly just accepting the reality that we feel our emotions through our body, and you describing breath work and what that's like, it kind of really makes sense. And I can see why after you clear all of that energy away, you may get some clarity, determination, commitment, and things like that. That sounds really powerful. Mm-hmm. And then soon after, you started diving into coaching, working with clients. And that's sort of a little bit of how we met during a mm-hmm. type of training we were involved in. What's interesting about the way you approach coaching is that you and I have something in common, which is that we both have an emphasis on the word and the idea of cultivating intuition. Can you talk a little bit about, because I don't know, I think, you know, one can do coaching and work with a coach without necessarily looking at that. I'm curious what intuition means for you and why you kind of champion it and empower it so much.
Yeah, I think so. There are so many different types of coaching and so many different types of coaches out there. And so for sure, there are coaches out there that don't emphasize intuition. I think intuition is so important because it's our inner knowing and it's our own guidance. And whether it's coaching, whether it's at a job, whether it's in relationship, a lot of times it can be easy to kind of outsource our power and give our power away to other people and assume that this person is the authority, this person knows what they're talking about, I'm just going to listen to this person and I'll be fine, right? It's kind of bringing it back to the idea of success. It's outsourcing the definition of success. Right? Like, they said, yes, this is what success should look like, so I'm just going to follow that, rather than listening to your own inner knowing, what's calling you forward, and creating your own definition of success, and then following that, right? Like, that's really the essence of ambition and mischief, is you get to decide what you're working toward. Be ambitious as you want, but toward your own definition of success. And so, to me, intuition is that kind of guiding light that allows you to see what is true for you, right? Like, forget what's true to me. So as a coach, I'm not telling people what to do. I'm not telling people how to live their lives. The work that I do with my clients, I work with women, the work that I do with the women in my community is allowing them to see what ways they're giving their power away, how they're maybe holding on to other people's definition of success, of joy, of power, and instead investigating what is their own definition. And that seems so simple, but when we've been used to outsourcing in that way for so long, we can start to lose track of what our intuition sounds like or feels like, because we're so used to listening to other people's voice, right? Like that voice of quote-unquote authority. And so our work is really coming back to that and allowing them to build that self-trust around their intuition.
Yeah, sometimes people think like you can't move forward until you've gotten all of the green lights and permissions. But for me, I often have the opposite experience. Sometimes I can't take a huge risk or make a big commitment unless it's like, no, I choose this. This is my voice. This is my decision. And that means relying on my own inner knowing, like you say. I've never thought of it that way, but you're right. Like, relying on an intuition means no longer outsourcing all of these important things that we need to make decisions around. And sometimes it's like you need to be the person to finally to own it. And a huge part of that is listening to my intuition, which is not to say don't listen to feedback or like don't talk to anybody. But at the end of the day, it still goes back to it's our choice what we do with our life. So much of what we want, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, to your point, it's not don't listen to other people, right? Like, we're not living in a bubble. And listening to other people, still run it through that filter, right? Like, still accept feedback, still accept, you know, listen to the people that you trust and run it through the filter. See how it feels for you. See how it lands in your body. And bringing it back to sometimes it's difficult to discern when we're not used to doing that. It can be like, well, I feel some resistance. Is it because of my intuition or is it because they're right? And I'm just right. So it takes some compassion and some practice to really learn, oh no, I'm receiving this and it's not like that. That's not my truth. Thank you for sharing, but that's not my truth. And then other times it might be, oh, I'm receiving that and I'm feeling resistance, not because it's not my truth, but because I'm afraid to take this action, right? So there are a lot of layers here around intuition and listening to it and having clarity and then taking action from that place.
So you have RAM programs such as the Intuition Incubator, and you work with women to cultivate a safe space to kind of do your own practice, do your own work around intuition. And you also have this lovely deck of cards. I don't know if you would call them oracle cards.
Yes, we should pull a card, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we should. Okay, so it's called the Intuition Incubator, and it has a series of prompts. I mean, tell the listeners how one could work with a deck like this, because I love this thing.
Yeah, so I call them self-coaching cards. Again, this goes back to the idea of you listening to your own intuition, you building that self-trust, and you building that inner knowing. And so these cards, there are 50 cards, and they're double-sided, so one side has a prompt or question and the other side has an affirmation. And the way that they are meant to be used, they can be used in a lot of different ways, but from the self-coaching perspective, you can pull a card and reflect on it, journal on it, and it's really meant to kind of spark. What I say is, when you ask yourself powerful questions, you get powerful answers. So us even asking ourselves questions like, how does your intuition speak to you? Or how is your comfort zone smothering you right now? Or different questions like that that are in there. We don't typically go around asking ourselves these questions. So when we do, we get to reflect on them and then get clarity around what's in our space. And beyond just using them for yourself, sometimes I like to use them with Jose, or I'll use them with friends. And I get to see different parts of these people that I love, and I get to see where they are in that moment. So it's also not just a good way to connect with yourself, but a good way to connect with the people that you love.
Yeah, I work with, I have a card deck purchasing issue, but that's another story. But I have, this is one of the decks that I like to work with, especially for something like really tangible that you can sort of take on. So for folks who are interested in having like really tangible things to work with relating to intuition, can they find this, a link to purchase on your website?
Yeah. So I forget the exact link to the deck, but if they go to ambitionandmischief.com, they'll be directed to the deck.
Perfect.
They'll find it there.
And speaking of your partner, Jose, you're one of those couples that I sort of see as like a little quote unquote power couple. You both do work with, you work with women. Jose works with men. You both coach, you both do trainings in groups. Because that's not my life. My partner is like doing something else entirely. How has that like influenced you? Because you two have been together for a long time. You two have similar interests, both very spiritual. Jose's very into breath work. I mean, I guess I'm just asking, like, what is that life like, and how does that influence you?
Yeah. Well, yes, we have been together for a long time. neither one of us started in this space. Neither one of us started in personal development. We've each kind of found our way here on our own, which is why I think we're able to do what we do separately. I think that's first and foremost, is we do what we do separately, and then sometimes we come together and we co-create, and you know, we kind of bring all of those elements into our relationship. But we individually found these paths. So we individually found spirituality and our breath work and our coaching and all of the things that we do. And we, neither one of us kind of pushed or forced the other person to be on this path just because the other person was, right? We kind of naturally found our way. And even like with the breath work, I was resistant to it. I wasn't like, I'm doing this breath work because you are. I was like, this thing that you're doing is weird. And then I had my own experience and now have my own relationship to breath work. So we, this path is kind of unfolded for each other as individuals. And then only recently have we started to co-create together. So we now do breathwork sessions together, and in the future we'll be doing other kind of workshops and other kind of in-person events together. But that's only recently, you know, like I personally have always felt that it was important for us to ground into our own work as individuals and really kind of create those pillars so that when we come together, it's from this place of like these two powerhouses coming together rather than building our business together from scratch and then kind of being intertwined in that way. I just always had this inner knowing that that was really important, right? Because now we get to create together because we choose to, not because we feel like we have to. So being in a relationship with someone who is as committed to this work as I am, I think is truly a blessing because it influences every part of our relationship, because we get to have conversations around conflict or around possibility or around like what we want from this mutual understanding. And on the flip side of that, sometimes for both of us, we have to be super careful not to weaponize this work. So we have to be really careful to not say like, no, I know this, right? Like, I know that, you know, whatever the thing is, fill in the blank, or no, I've been coached on this, so I know that what I'm saying is right, right? The ego can sometimes try and come in and take this work, take spirituality or take coaching and use it for its own purposes. So I would say that's something that we do have to keep an eye on, but for the most part, it's a blessing to be able to speak the same language in that way.
Me, but yeah, everyone check out Sam and Jose's space. It's really cool. And yes, you will facilitate in-person events in Puerto Rico and maybe others. So people keep an eye out.
Yeah. So we're going to be in Jersey for the holidays in December up until like mid-January. And I think we might be doing an in-person breath work while we're there. It's not confirmed. We don't have any dates yet, but it's a possibility. So if that's something that you're interested in, an in-person breathwork event, follow me or follow Jose and, you know, just keep an eye out for that. And if that doesn't happen for whatever reason, we are for sure going to be doing a virtual breathwork event. So I am excited for that.
Yes, keep me updated because I would actually like to. I missed your last one and I was bummed about it. So I'd like to go.
Yes.
So maybe we'll catch up in person.
They're so powerful, so magical. If I may, I hosted a breathwork session for my community last week, and it was the first time that I hosted it just for my community. So it wasn't kind of me and Jose. It wasn't open to the public. It was just for the women that are already in my community. And I've been coaching with them for a while, right? But this is the first time that I've introduced breathwork. And like I mentioned, breathwork is something that gets you out of your mind and gets you into your body. So after the experience, the women said that this was literally life-changing, which was my experience that I had when I first did breathwork. So I'm just so excited to integrate more breathwork into the community and really integrate the coaching with the breathwork to integrate the mind and the body in that way.
Ooh, and I believe you're still, are you still accepting members for your community?
I am, yes, cool. I am. So if anyone is listening and interested and wants to do this kind of coaching and breath work inside of community, reach out, let me know.
Yeah. And one more thing that I have to make sure to cover as a fellow podcaster, Ambition and Mischief, you also have a podcast under that name. And I love it. It kind of has a mix of conversations and also maybe like reflections and learnings and things like that. So my question might be, do you have like a favorite thing that you've talked about or any like favorite moments that's related to you creating this podcast? And you've had several seasons of it now.
Mm-hmm. So the podcast is on hold right now until 2023. There will be a new season in 2023. And so far, so the first season was a lot of me kind of sharing my own reflections and my own learnings and kind of, I would say, teaching certain things. Season two, which just wrapped up, was featuring a lot of my clients, a lot of the women that I've worked with. And that's been my favorite so far, to just kind of reflect with my clients on where they started, what about our work has really stuck with them, what has impacted them the most, what do they see about how they get in their own way sometimes, right? I call them inner rebels. So like, what are the inner rebels that they've identified that maybe try to stop them from stepping out into possibility or the unknown? So that has been super fun. And I love reflecting with them because I can see, and we get to see together, where they started before, when we started working together, and where they are now. And I just love to name things. Like, there's something, I love words, I love language. So there's something about naming things that really allows us to see the impact of it. So I've been loving that. For next year, something that I have planned is coaching live on the podcast. So
that's big game now.
Yeah, so not just talking about coaching, not just reflecting on the sessions that have happened behind closed doors, mm-hmm. but literally getting on with someone, pressing record, and coaching live. And the reason why I'm so excited about that is because, like, even right now I'm like smiling, I'm like, I can't wait. But the reason why I'm so excited is because so many of the women inside of the community are similar, and they're working through similar things. And as I'm having these private conversations, I'm talking about similar things, right? So like, two different people, two different conversations, two different coaching sessions, but we're talking about essentially the same thing, right? Like, the specifics are different, but the themes that they're working through are the same. And so I'm excited for this because even though I'm having a coaching conversation with one specific person, I know that there are going to be so many people that can relate to what we are talking about and will be kind of receiving coaching in their own way just through that listening and through that observation.
You're a fan of Christine Hassler, right?
I am. Yes, yes, yes.
I knew it because it's very rare. I love being able to be a fly on the wall, you know, with live coaching and live experience, live training, which we were both a part of.
Yeah. And I actually trained under Christine Hassler. So after the coaching training that we did, accomplishment coaching, I did another training. So I was in training for like almost 2 years. It was wild. But I did another training after AC, and it's called Elementum Coaching Institute, I think is like the official name. And it was founded by Christine Hassler, her husband, and these two other powerhouse coaches. And their main focus is around somatics and embodiment and really taking a holistic approach to coaching. So this was kind of before the breathwork training that I'm in now. So it really gave me this foundation around integrating the body into coaching and not just focusing on the mind. So yes, I love Christine Hassler. She does live coaching on her podcast too. So something similar, but you know, with my own flavor, with my own twist.
Oh, absolutely. It will have the Sam flavor, but I did mention it because I was always like, it's a little bit harder to find, you know, live coaching that is just available for the public. So it's actually kind of rare. And so I love that you're doing that. And I personally like Christine's work. So everyone look out for that next year. I can't wait to see this and keep me updated.
Yes. And if you are interested in being coached live, reach out to me and we'll get you on the list.
Awesome. Let's everyone keep an eye out for that one. Cool. Is there anything else that you would love for people to know about your work and where you're headed and your journey?
The only thing that is coming up right now, I think just because we were talking about intuition so much, is just reminding everyone that's listening to trust their inner knowing, right? Like trust your inner knowing above all else and trust those whispers and those callings that pull you forward in different directions, right? Like the random thought that tells you to text someone. Not your ex. Don't listen to that one. But the random thought that tells you to like reach out to this person or check in on this person, or maybe you're listening to this conversation, you're like, I don't know, I think there's something in here. Like maybe it's Sam or this community is something that is right. Like just follow that. Not that it needs that you need to do anything, but just have that curiosity. That's really what's coming up, is just like lead with curiosity. And that's where I am too, is leading with curiosity and really following, like, huh, what's next for me? What's next for Ambition and Mischief? And not just doing the same things that we've always done simply because we've done them, but listening to that curiosity and seeing what unfolds. So we'll see what 2023 has in store. And I'm excited to dive into that curiosity.
I can't wait to watch it and also probably benefit from it. So, thank you so much for chatting today. This was so fun, and
It
thank you for all of your
was.
insights.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This time flew by and it was so fun.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to connect with me, please reach out at www.robertkwangcoaching.com. And also feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at robertkwangcoaching.